Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Exit Only Theater podcast.
Hey.
I'm afraid to see what you're doing behind me. I'm JP Lee, and with me, as always, is...
It's Adrian Alderot.
The Chicago Bears fan. We drew straws, and he gets to wear the beanie this week. So with us as well is Sean Howard and our moderator this week, Jonathan Fisher. We'll get us started on some topics. First, I just wanted to thank, on behalf of everybody here, thank the audience for watching and tuning in and checking out our material. We've gotten a lot of traction the last couple weeks with this new format, so thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you so much for caring about the stuff we do, because we're just a bunch of nerds who love movies, but we like to see that there are a few of you guys that are like us out there, so thank you.
It was awesome, man. Getting the feedback that we got, it's much appreciated, and like we said again, like we're going to continue to try to make it better. Sean's wearing... He's still wearing shorts.
It's an improvement.
Yeah, but he shaved his legs, so that's a plus. He's going to walk around much faster this time around.
Isn't that right, aerodynamic.
Yeah. Just cuts through the wind. Yeah.
Well, on that note, there's not really a clean transition from that, but we're going to get over to our moderator, Jonathan Fisher, who's going to get us going on some topics this week.
So, guys, there is a secret squeakquel. Sorry. Sequel.
God.
Too much chipmunks for me this weekend. No. A secret sequel. 10 Cloverfield Lane, and I just wanted to get you guys' first thoughts on that.
Yes, I'm glad that we brought that up. You want to start things off?
I do, because it's a... I never saw the original Cloverfield.
Really?
I'm not a fan of found footage movies other than Blair Witch. Sounds weird.
This is an interesting perspective. I thought you'd seen it.
I had not seen it.
No pre-production meeting. Okay, yeah. Go on.
No, well, based on the trailer alone, I'm excited because, one, it's not found footage anymore. It's a legitimate, like, actually well-shot film.
Stationary camera. Less motion sickness.
I love the use of the Tiffany song, I Think We're Alone Now, which
it's
is awesome.
It's so good. It's so good.
And, yeah, like, it looks very interesting. It looks like one of those, like, cabin feverish kind of movies where you kind of are just, like, I think they all want to break out to see what happened after whatever happened in Cloverfield. Mm-hmm. But... I like the cast. I think the cast is what excites me the most. Yeah, you know, J.J. Abrams did, you know, he produced this while somehow producing Star Wars and directing Star Wars. But it looks really cool. John Goodman, anything he's in, I'll watch.
Yeah. That had me at John Goodman. I'm like, what is this? See, the thing is I wasn't at the 13 Hours like premiere when this trailer just surprisingly popped up. So I would love to have seen people's reactions when they're like, what is this movie? Feels like an episode of Lost, and then that the Cloverfield line lingers before the rest of the title comes up, and I would have lost my mind. I think it's a really cool idea. Yeah. Just a quick tidbit is that Daniel Trachtenberg is the director who's pretty much done nothing, but he was actually hired by Bad Robot to do a film that was, quote, if I remember correctly, about a woman trapped in a cellar by someone who warns her of danger outside the bunker, but word of it being a Cloverfield sequel had never actually gotten out. So it was just like people knew this movie was being made, but no one gave it attention, even though it was hiding in plain sight. So good on you, Bad Robot. I'm excited about this.
Sounds like an interesting premise, the way you described it like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a simple idea, but with all of the context surrounding the Cloverfield universe, I'm really looking forward to it. So
it's also interesting that all the bunker movies are coming out with Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and then The Room.
Yeah, and they're all very different
takes.
Very
close
together. Bunker genres.
Yeah.
And you've got comedy, it's kind of weird. It's a different genre altogether.
Nice.
So I think that movie comes out on March 11th, which is 2 weeks before Batman vs. Superman.
Woo!
Which is weird because this trailer just dropped and freaking I feel like we've been hearing about Batman vs. Superman for three months
years?
Now.
Yep.
So how do you think the marketing campaigns differ and how do you think they'll be received?
I think this is incredibly successful because I would rather be the film that showed too little and kept people guessing and maybe had people's expectations high just on their own anticipation than being bombarded with information and pieces of a whole that feel as if in the case of Batman v Superman, I'm going to be underwhelmed because I already have seen so much in the span of like a year now, so...
It's kind of like when you're trying to rate, like, a dick. David Bailey... I said that wrong.
trying to rate a dick.
Cut. All right. It's trying to rate, like, a David Beckham photo. It's like, oh, man, like, if I were, someone who was, like, sexually interested in David Beckham, it's like, well, I kind of seen everything already. He's been naked in almost every photo.
I did not know where you were going on that one. Okay.
As opposed to seeing, like, some other attractive guy or something saying, hey, you know, that's interesting. I kind of want to see what he's about.
Leave something to the imagination.
Whereas David Beckham shows his doomsday every time he's on camera. Like,
it's probably written down in his notes, too. That's a good one.
Overall, obviously, people are going to be excited to see Batman v Superman just on the title alone. Mm-hmm. But they're going to show so much. I think it's going to turn other people who maybe were, like, on the fence about it kind of off. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to see it, like, I know we've talked about this. Sean and I are, like the few defenders of the film, but I'm nervous about it because I don't feel good about it right now.
Just because of the marketing alone. And it looks like they rushed their trailer and just,
You said it before, like, Cloverfield, we don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know. So that's the intrigue. It's like, kind of like, even though we knew about Star Wars The Force Awakens, we had no idea what direction they were going to take. So, I like that.
I like JJ's err on the side of caution. Just don't tell anyone.
Damn it, JJ. You complimented it. You're doing a great job.
Take us away. What's the next spot?
Okay, so we lost two incredible influences this week in music and film. Mm-hmm. However, David Bowie has also done film, whether it be The Prestige or Labyrinth. Can you speak on some of your favorite things that David Bowie has done for
David
you guys?
David Bowie. I mean, for me, my favorite, like, minor role that he had was in The Prestige when he played Nikola Tesla. I think we talked about this a couple of days ago when we first heard the news, was that, you know, that character, that person, that figure historically is just such an anomaly. He was such a ahead of his time kind of figure in the scientific world, but for someone like David Bowie, who kind of just transcended genres, gender, music, just pop culture in general, it was like a perfect seamless transition for him to play that. So I love that role.
Yeah, growing up, I always saw David Bowie as just this guy who was the guy from Labyrinth.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is really weird dude that likes to wear really strange clothes that he probably didn't buy in the men's section.
That hair.
But as I got older and you start learning more about music, you start learning more about film. Like, I still haven't seen it, but The Man Who Fell to Earth was a film that
I've never seen it.
That is really highly regarded. Mm. And he stars, I think he's the title character in that. And I just appreciate that he's one of those guys that, like you said, transcends not only just like film or television, he transcends art, where he's able to influence people on what through his storytelling in both film and music. So it's a sad loss because there aren't very many of those around.
No, very few. Yeah. Very few. So it's sorely missed. But we lost another guy this week, actually.
And I think last to wrap up the show, we need to talk about Alan Rickman, and he also passed away at age 69. To me, unexpectedly, I didn't even know he was sick. So if we want to talk about him and your favorite movies he was in, mine was probably Sweeney Todd, just because it kind of showed off his Broadway stage realm, because he was able to sing and stuff in it. But what did you guys think?
I'll say that there's so many, I don't want to be like, there's so many roles. There really were a lot of roles. And I used to always kind of mock his accent and the way he speaks. But
respectfully,
he's one of those guys where, like, anytime you hear him speak, it's not just his voice. He knows how to use his voice.
He's
like
very
a Morgan
iconic.
Freeman kind of guy. But I always have to point to his first big-time role was in Die Hard. Hans Gruber.
Oh, without a doubt.
He was such a convincing villain, and it not only did it make, like, his career, but without him, you don't have the
most,
movie. You don't have Die Hard.
You don't
have
most
Bruce
villains
Willis.
For the next 15
you
years.
Don't.
So.
He was awesome, and I would say that was his most memorable role in my eyes.
For me, it's Galaxy Quest. I mean, his character Alexander Dane introduced me to, like, subtle satire and just the idea that, like, a character could take something serious like Star Trek, which is, of course, tongue-in-cheek in and of itself, but that kind of realm of, like, the serious actor, the way that, like, William Shatner was, and just kind of play off of that is just, like, it's he's a tortured soul in this very comedic setting.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And I didn't appreciate the quality of the acting when I was a kid, but as I've gotten older, that movie's only gotten better for me. So, but I feel like we're missing a big piece of the puzzle in terms of what he's done and what he's accomplished, so it's important for us to point out Professor Snape. Like, you can't talk about him without saying Professor Snape. He was in 8 of the films. That character has come to, we can't say it's not a spoiler, but he's, to be the good guy in a franchise where you're perceived to be the bad guy for 6 of the 7 books, or 6 of the 8 movies, is incredible to me that I actually found out he knew his character's arc before most of the directors knew.
Really?
Yeah, so J.K. Rowling told him where the character was going when he was first cast into the first couple of films when she knew what was happening, and he couldn't tell some of the directors who hadn't even been picked for the future films yet. Mm. So to keep that secret is just a testament to how awesome of a guy he was. And it's sad. I just read that he didn't really know the severity of his sickness until, like, just before Christmas. So I mean, it's a life is short lesson, and he's got a lot of really cool parts for us to kind of appreciate him for. So
go back and watch all his movies. Oh, just so we say, Sean, you said Professor Snape was your favorite role of his, mm-hmm. right?
Of course, I mean, forget. Well, Harry Potter is a great movie, and he was awesome in it, and he killed it.
Oh, yeah. The franchise itself is ridiculous. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's a somber note, but it's definitely, it's important for us to talk about it, and we all grew up with him as an actor, and we know you guys did, so I think it's a right way to end this episode. I mean, if there's anything else you want to say.
Well, guys, before we go, I'm just getting some corrections from our fact checkers.
Oh, here we go. Tony Reale's in. Let's do this.
No, I'm sorry. Like, we don't want to get any bad press from David Beckham's camp. He has actually never posed nude before, Adrian.
Okay, see.
So I don't know where that came from. He's done underwear, classy underwear. We just have to say that, okay?
Hey, no, it's important. It's important.
He's never posed nude.
That was a good pivot to that. I appreciate you keeping us honest. So.
I'm not going to deny that he has not been nude.
Point out these two we're talking about. I have made no reference to David Beckham at all. I refrained.
Jonathan, refresh your history on your computer so you get home. Right.
Probably David Beckham's son.
Yeah, he's like 16, though. That's the only... They all look exactly like him. Have you seen all three of his kids? They're carbon copies of him. It's creepy.
I'm not going to lie. Posh Spice, I still would consider.
Hey, Spice Girls.
You're watching.
On that note...
You can see all three acts of me if you're interested.
I'm JP Lee.
I'm always Adrian Alderman.
Over there is Jonathan Fisher. We've got Sean Howard on like 9 different cameras right now. Thank you again to Sean for keeping this all afloat.
Yeah, porn basement.
For Exit Only Theater, I'm JP Lee, Adrian Alderette. We'll see you in the credits roll.
See ya.